Zondervan presents Though None Go With Me by Jerry B. Jenkins, read by Sandy Burr. To Doug Barber, my friend, an example of the believer in word and deed. Prologue. The call that made Elizabeth cringe ever after at any ringing phone came just before midnight in the winter of her 45th year. Only the wealthy had extension phones in Three Rivers, Michigan, in 1945, and Elizabeth Grace Leroy Bishop had not numbered herself among them for decades. Unsure how long the phone had been ringing, she ignored her slippers and tugged her robe on as she hurried stiff-legged toward the stairs. The hardwood creaked as her feet lost feeling on the icy floor. The thermometer outside the kitchen window had read 9 below just hours before. There was no one else to waken anymore in the big house on Kelsey Street. "Keep ringing, phone," she whispered, "unless you bring bad news." At the bottom of the stairs, Elizabeth breathed a prayer and picked up.
"Mother Bishop, it's Joyce. We've had an accident."
Elizabeth clutched her robe tight at her throat. Her daughter-in-law sounded calm enough, but,
"Tell me you didn't lose the baby." "I'm fine, so I assume the baby is too."
Elizabeth hardly wanted to ask.
"And Bruce?"
She heard her own heart as Joyce hesitated.
"Bruce seems okay, but he's trapped in the car."
"Oh, no.
Did you?" "The police are on their way."
"Thank God. Where are you?"
"Not far. M60. We were coming back from visiting."
"At this hour? Joyce, you're due in, what, a month?"
"The road looked clear, but at the big curve over by,
I know where it is.
There was ice. We slid into the ditch. Bruce steered away from the water. He somehow swung back up onto the road, but we flipped over."
"Oh, Joyce.
He seems fine, but the wheel and the dashboard have him pinned."
"I'll come."
"Please don't. I'll call you as soon as we get home. He didn't even want me to tell you."
"Just like him. How did you get out?"
"I crawled out the window. We weren't far from a farmhouse. The people are so nice. I hated to wake them."
"Call as soon as you know anything, and have someone check you over, honey."
Elizabeth stood in the darkness of the living room, staring out at the streetlight on the corner. What a marvel, throwing off 10 times the light of the gas lamps lit by hand, one by one at twilight, when she was a child. Back then, a year could pass before she saw more than 3 automobiles. Now everyone had one. Some, too. Imagine. Well, a flipped horse cart wouldn't have trapped Bruce. The weight of a lifetime of strife overcame Elizabeth, and she lowered herself to the floor, her face in her palms, the backs of her hands pressed against the gritty carpet.
"Oh, God," she began, "you have protected Bruce from so much. You must have great things in mind for him. He is completely yours. Let the police be your agents, and may they get there even now to rescue one who wants above all to serve you."
Elizabeth could not sleep. She alternately paced and sat on the couch in the stillness. Since childhood, prayer had been as natural to Elizabeth as breathing, and during that time, God had required much of her, allowing her to be tested until she was forced to rely solely upon him. Her underpinnings had been ripped away with such regularity that she had often been tempted to settle into a life that didn't shake its fist in the enemy's face. Elizabeth didn't want to change her past, but as she shivered in the wee hours of a bitter morning, she struggled with God yet again, as she had so often before, over the safety of her son. She had accepted so much, suffered so much, given so much.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?